And currently, our temperatures are 36 in Lynchburg, 39 in Bedford, 35 in Appomattox, 29 in Danville, and 42 in Roanoke and Salem.
7:06 on the Morning Jam. He comes on the show every now and then to tell us what's going on in the city of Lynchburg. Chris Feraldi with us right now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How was your Thanksgiving? I hope you all enjoyed your holiday and got enough turkey in your system. I'm still recovering. So.
I think a lot of people are still recovering.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm recovering from the turkey or the pie more, but we'll figure that out in, I guess, a week or so when I weigh myself.
Yeah, really.
You might want to wait until, you know, after Christmas to...
Yeah, probably. That's probably the right move.
To get that done. Well, speaking of trying to recover, the city of Lynchburg is struggling now. Headlines are not great. Mm-mm. We did a story yesterday about Lynchburg having multiple shootings within a 12-hour time period, and it was just kind of overwhelming. Just going through all of those incidents, and our police department is not equipped to handle this level of violence, and maybe the violence is up because we're so understaffed.
They're not equipped to handle what the current crime situation, the current violent crime situation is before us. That's pretty close to being on point, Janet. When you look at the string of violent crime this year, it's already the bloodiest year, the most deadly year in Lynchburg's history. 8 homicides this year makes this calendar year the most violent, most deadly year in the history of Lynchburg. Then you throw in all the increase in malicious woundings and shots fired calls. You're looking at hundreds and hundreds of calls throughout the year, all couched in this narrative of from about a year and a half ago, where the defund the police movement came out and the we're going to make sure that police don't do certain things and can't engage in certain ways. Well, gee, now you're saying a massive spike in crime.
Shocking.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
And so you now find ourselves where a headline comes out like it did this past weekend, as you mentioned, where they say five pieces of violent crime. Not sure all of them were shootings, but
some were stabbings.
In a 48-hour period. Oh, my goodness. You had multiple knifings. You had a couple shootings. Great. What else can we put on the platter? My goodness, what are we going to do to put an end to this nonsense? This city is not, it is not Richmond, it is not Detroit, it is not any of those major Democrat cities. Yet, I would say, the same type of folks are in charge of the city who've been in charge for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a massive spike in violent crime, higher taxes, degrading school systems. I guess we are starting to be more like those cities, and it's time for the folks in Lynchburg to really start paying attention to this stuff and going to their local leaders and saying, what are you going to do about this? The fact of the matter is we didn't increase starting pay for police officers in the previous budget. We didn't hire any more positions for the budget. And one of the other articles, I was talking to Mark offline before we got started live, was that the police department has seen a 90% decrease in applications in the past 10 years.
But you can't blame them. I mean, we're seeing that across the country right now.
Yes, but Janet, I hear that so often, and I don't mean to criticize you or anyone else.
I'm not saying that's all of it at all.
Lynchburg should not be a part of a trend. We should be setting the trend.
I agree.
Why is this a problem? We're not doing enough to attract in. Okay, we can't recruit brand new officers. Great. That means what we have to be doing is setting up an attraction pool in some way and saying, if you transfer into Lynchburg from any of those cities, any of those counties, here's what we'll pay you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not common sense, so to speak, but it doesn't seem to be as complicated as, you know, well, gee, we need to get as many 21-year-olds to come be, or 18-year-olds to come be a police officer. Well, let's recruit, sorry, let's recruit the folks from other localities. Right. Get them into Lynchburg because we need the help.
Because what we've had happen in Lynchburg, from my experience of working with the police when I was working and doing events there, was this was kind of a starter career city. They would start in Lynchburg, they would get a little time under their belt, and then they would go somewhere else. That is tied a great deal to pay and that type of thing, for sure. Not a lot of retention going on there. Mm-hmm. I think we can agree on that.
That retention piece is all exactly right. I don't know the exact number of positions. It might be 174 or 175 sworn officers. Forgive me for forgetting. Let's say it's 175 in this instance. In the past 20 years, I hope your listeners are paying attention to this piece of data. In the past 20 years, the city of Lynchburg has cycled through 174 officers, the full slate of sworn officer positions, twice.
And I'm going to...
That's the kind of situation we're in, where we're not retaining these officers long-term because they're not being paid. They're getting beat up in the culture war.
Yeah.
And I'm saying enough. Lynchburg, we've got to make sure this is a city of law and order. And I am not going to tolerate anything less. And I know my neighbors feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. So let me say this. We heard from a couple of listeners who are residents in the city of Lynchburg. And they allege that, because I had mentioned to you these trends that we're seeing across the country and how I think that they are impacting the lack of applications that we're getting. Let me finish that thought for you.
Sure.
The reason that I think that is happening is, based on what I'm hearing from listeners, is that our current police department is falling prey to making choices based on what is PC right now. They're not, they're less likely to make the hard choices that need to be made because they don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be called, hateful, and that they're targeting, and that they're and there are some listeners that are alleging that people have left the police department because they're getting pressure to make decisions that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's a problem.
Target that and not so much at the local level, but you can look at some of the legislation the Democrats passed in Richmond just last year. I mean, they passed legislation that you cannot do certain things. You can't pull certain people over because of a tag being out, a taillight tag being out on the back of the car. Or you can't pull someone over if their car smells like marijuana. Or you can't do certain things, because the intent of the legislation was, we think that folks in the minority communities get pulled over too much, too quickly for some of these minor offenses. So we're going to say you can't do it at all. The unintended outcome that Republicans argued now is saying, all right, let's find another solution to that, because if you do this, which is what they did, you're going to find that there's going to be less encounters in the police realm, and there's going to be more crime, more emboldened crime. Well, guess what? That's exactly what's happened. The Democrats in Richmond are pulling the police out of the neighborhoods, and as a result, you're not having folks in the police department being able to actually patrol the neighborhoods, go into the neighborhoods and meet people and grow relationships and develop those connections, so that they can actually have a relationship with those neighbors and say, what's going on here and how can I be helpful? I'll give you an example, too. Another thing that's really impacting us. Right now, the way the legislation and the law works, if there's a mental health issue in the hospital, Lynchburg Police Department has to actually station a sworn officer at that medical bed for up to 72 hours. So we're taking law enforcement off the street and we're putting them into the hospital and standing there. I can tell you straight up, my friends, a couple of them who joined the Lynchburg Police Department and others around the country, did not sign up to be security guards.
Sure.
They signed up to be proactive Crime Stoppers and putting bad people behind bars. Mm-hmm. And that's also affecting us now from a morale standpoint. They're still getting paid. They're still being a police officer. But the downside is they're literally standing sometimes entire shifts with a 10-year-old because that's what the law requires them to do. And instead of being out in the streets, the result for the Lynchburg citizen is sometimes there might be less than seven, less than five officers in the street to answer the calls for service. So now you're also seeing that they're pulling the SROs out of schools and they're putting other folks in there, other ranked officers in there. They're taking people off the homicide unit. They're taking people off the community action team unit because they just need the manpower to do it. And again, I come back to, why didn't we tackle the issue in this previous budget when so-called the number one thing we had to do was public safety staffing per a poll of all of our council members? And then we find that about a month ago that we have a surplus of almost $27 million. We could have done so much, and unfortunately that projection was so far off. And now we have a weekend like we had, and it's just compounding on itself that something has to be done. And you know, if you ask me, we need more law enforcement. They need to be paid more. They need to be invested in and prioritized.
So we're speaking with Chris Feraldi. He is a councilman for city of Lynchburg. And we're talking about arrests that were made in connection with multiple shootings and malicious woundings that took place in a 12-hour period in the Hill City. Now, one of the things that I think we're all saying here is that, you know, when you don't have visibility of law enforcement on the streets, that just creates and fosters an environment for not great things to happen. Mm-hmm. So we have to work, like you say, at getting fully staffed. And then retaining the police officers that we have. I don't want people to think that we're beating up on the Lynchburg Police Department, because we're not.
No. Oh, far from it. Far from it. I can't tell you how many ride-alongs I've been on since being elected just a year and a half ago, how many brave men and women I've encountered on some of the most crazy situations you could have possibly imagined. And they are far from anything less than professional, humble. All they want to do is serve, and all they want to do is have the career that they believe the Lord has called them to do. None of this is faulting them whatsoever. It is partially because of the culture we're in now, where we apparently are supposed to degrade police, defund them to a degree, and Richmond and the capital there, the legislature there, is taking away their proactive ability to enforce laws. And then throw in the fact that Lynchburg isn't defunding the police. We're just not funding them, and we haven't to the extent we need to. All those factors in, you're going to get a city that has increased spikes of violent crime over the course of the years, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
Chris, this is going to take a while to turn the ship. So What do you think we're looking at by way of, because we're dealing with Richmond, we have a new governor, we still have as I understand it, a split legislature, because the Senate is still going to have their majority. Things have to happen in Richmond. Things have to happen in Lynchburg. Where do you see us, and how long? What can we do right now? And then what do we have to do long term?
Well, a couple things. Number one, you are correct when you say this is not a short fix. Because if we were to do everything that I was describing right now, today, increase starting pay, allocate more positions, and so on, that's a stopgap scenario, because then you either need to recruit more cadets, or you need to bring in experienced law enforcement officials from other agencies. Mm-hmm. And with the first, you're talking about a year and a half long process almost before they are ready to go on the street by themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. So, before you get that extra relief in, and that's if you can recruit them all, that's a year and a half long process. Then you also have, can we recruit in enough people from the outside to come in to give us the relief we need? And that could be quicker. it depends how appetizing we make Lynchburg. Do we put in a pay band plan that didn't flow well in my tongue, where, you know, okay, if I have this many years experience and I have this many credentials, I will make this much in Lynchburg if I transfer in, love that. I mean, I had a law enforcement officer here in Lynchburg say, listen, Chris, I love Lynchburg. This is where I want to be. But if I transfer to the city of Roanoke right now, I will get an $18,000 pay increase overnight.
Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff we need to be doing.
And that's life-changing, yeah.
That we could bring in people right away. So, no, it's not a quick fix. But if you're talking about a timeline, it will take some time. It will take some very hard time, but the longer we wait, the worse it gets.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, the officers we're talking about are looking for that light at the end of the tunnel, and we really need to be demonstrating not only to them but to the community that we are serious, absolutely serious about the safety of our city.
I will say this, though. We want to make sure that we're not doing what's happening with our fire department and that we're bringing in people from other places and paying them more than the people who have already been here and put time in with our city. So there's definitely a right way to do that. As far as our listeners are concerned, if you live in Lynchburg, if you're concerned about stories that we're sharing with you about the crime and the way it's increasing, the best thing you can do, the number one thing you can do, is know who your council person is. Know who they are, know how they vote, know what they stand for, and then you vote your values accordingly.
Because if you don't, I want to thank you so much for always, every time I get on your show with you and Mark, it's to always point that out, because it is so, so critical that representatives hear from the folks they're supposed to be representing.
Right.
You know, I have no question in my mind that this is a job that I was hired to do, and voters owe me nothing, because they've done what they're supposed to do and is elected representative. If anything, having folks keep us in check and make sure that the local government is doing what they need to do to keep their city safe is spot on. I've created a resource for folks to do that. If you live in Lynchburg, just go to votelynchburg.com. You can email the city council right away from there, and you could simply ask, what are you doing to keep me and my family safe?
Thank you so much, Chris Feraldi, for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. You keep on fighting the good fight, and we're here if you need us.
Thank you both. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
And we hope to have you back on the show before Christmas, certainly. Next time, come in, and maybe I'll give you a Little Debbie treat. I've got a few. I've got to bring the large cakes in. I told you I found some large Christmas trees. Did I tell you that?
You did not.
Oh, I let the cat out of the bag.
You let the tree out of the box. It's not one of those funky chocolate ones, I hope.
No, I think they were all white cakes.
All right, I got a feel-good story coming up. We'll be back on The Morning Jam.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
And they called it puppy love. Oh, I guess they'll never know.
Hey, I wanted Donny Osmond's version.
This is Donny. That's Donny. That is a young Donny. Sounds like Michael Jackson, doesn't he?
It sounds like a girl.
Love a soul. That's him.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was just a young pup himself, wasn't he? Well, it is puppy love for a lady who adopted a rescue dog.
Okay.
This out of Washington, D.C., an adopted Silver Spring dog is being credited with saving the life of an 85-year-old woman.
Wow.
She had fallen. She hit her head and became trapped. Michaela Swift, Milo's parent, opened her front door to take him for a walk on the morning of November 4th. Swift says he bolted across the street and led Swift to the home of Sherry Starr. He scratched and scratched on the side and front doors. He's really serious at this point, Swift says. He's barking loudly. She says it was then that she heard faint cries for help coming from inside the house. Mm-hmm. Star had fallen in the early hours of the morning, hit her head, became trapped between the shower and the toilet.
Oh, no.
Swift called 911. EMTs arrived. She was bruised, but otherwise unharmed. When the dog sensed that his vulnerable neighbor needed urgent help, he led his guardian straight to the doorstep.
Wow.
They're hoping this story is going to inspire people to consider adopting an animal from their local shelter, where so many clever, loving, and tenacious dogs, just like Milo, are waiting for a family to join. Swift said, "He's always been a huge blessing in my life. I fall in love with him more every day," basically.
Wow.
And I'm so sorry, guys. That's my allergies are so bad. It is such a great story. And if you're thinking about getting a pet for your family, a lot of people do during the holidays because they have time to spend with them. They'll take some time off.
Sure.
That's great if you know what you're getting into and you're not just going to turn around and take them back to the shelter. But there are so many great dogs. Our buddy dog, he has ended up being a fantastic hunting and tracking dog for the guys when they're deer hunting.
Right.
He'll take them right to the deer if they lose the trail.
How about that?
And he's just a rescue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say he's a rescue mutt because that seems cold, but but he kind of is.
Yeah.
But boy, is he splendid in every way.
Yes, that's right.
So think about adopting. Adopt, don't shop. That's our motto.
Yeah, yeah, I like that because the four animals at our house are they're rescues.
Yeah,
and I guess in a sense, I'm a rescue too.
I was going to say Ramsey thinks you're a rescue.
I'm a rescue too, no doubt about it.
He's patting himself
on the back,
pawing himself on
the
back
right now,
saying, "I rescued those humans from themselves."
It's 7:31. CBS News Brief next, and then Janet and I will have some local stories for you.
Currently 42 degrees in Roanoke and Salem, 30 degrees in Danville, 39 in Bedford, 35 in Lynchburg.
I say, come on Friday. If you're bringing 70-degree temperatures, you can show up a couple days early Friday, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Exactly.
It is hump day. It's Wednesday. We just had Chris Feraldi on the show, and we'll have that
Such
interview.
Such a good interview with him. He's so great.
Yeah, we're going to have it up on our SoundCloud. If you just go to SoundCloud, type in The Morning Jam on VTRN, and then start typing today's date, it'll autofill. And then you'll be able to listen to Chris again. The whole show's up there. We dissect it, tear it apart, give it to you in three-hour increments, and then we do our Morning Jam eye-opener, which is just the opening audio, Janet's Five and Dine, and then all the interviews that we do, we put up
and
on our SoundCloud.
And sometimes we'll break out a salty, I've got an idea. We've been looking for a celebrity spokesperson.
Okay, where's this going?
Well, okay, so... Insane radio deals. Mm-hmm. Who better to be a spokesperson for something insane than Salty? And he has become very popular.
Well, he is known in Manhattan.
People in Manhattan
outside
are asking
Radio City Music Hall.
Right.
The producer, I think, for Tom Sullivan's asked, "Is Salty a real person?" This guy I hear from Virginia.
Because we pulled the audio.
Yeah.
So we had a listener tell us about it, and we pulled it and played it here, which I think is hysterical.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to try to, maybe he would be our celebrity spokesperson. I think he owes us a little bit.
Well, we have given him some exposure.
We have created quite the celebrity in Salty Henderson.
As long as he doesn't expose himself, we're okay. We can just give him exposure. Okay, anyway.
You need to go to the news quickly. Quickly.
Anyways, I guess
Do
that means
you've
put out the salt shaker.
I guess so,
Well, maybe we'll hear from him. Let's see. We've got this place called Funky Arcades. It was supposed to open in Danville today, and they have postponed the opening. Now, this might seem like, it's just an arcade, but people look forward to this kind of stuff. I mean, arcades, I can't believe they're still around because I remember in the 80s, I can tell you where the one was next to Hills Plaza. It's not Hills Plaza, it's where Burlington is. In Lynchburg, Burlington was. They just recently moved. But there was an arcade down there, and it was a happening place back in the 80s. Anyways, arcade's still popular. Funky Arcade is going to open later now. They're going to be located, when they do open, 315 Lynn Street. Again, the opening has been postponed. You can go to their Facebook page. They are updating with videos and just letting you know it's coming. It's just not ready. And I know I've opened a business before. Now, I didn't have a storefront, but you know, because my business was countertops, I'd just go to the job site kind of thing and meet customers and all that kind of stuff. But I understand when you're putting a building together, probably complex too, with videos and making sure you got the right outlets and a number of breakers and all that kind of stuff. A lot goes into it. So be patient down in the South Side. You're going to get your Funky's Arcade coming soon. Stay tuned to Facebook, and we'll try to keep up with that too as well.
Nice. Well, there is a new place open in Roanoke for those who need somewhere to grieve when no memorial or grave exists. The Remembrance Garden for the Unborn is an outdoor garden created by the members of the St. John Lutheran Church to honor the unborn and to allow people a place to move forward with grief. According to the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as many as 26% of all pregnancies are lost through miscarriage. St. John Lutheran Church said, in addition to miscarriages, pregnancies that are unfulfilled through infertility, abortion, stillbirth can cause great depression and grief. The Remembrance Garden for the Unborn displays a large, intricate ironwork window designed so padlocks can be attached in honor of an unborn child. The padlocks can be decorated or personalized or customized with jewelry or art, and they're usually kept by a parent in remembrance of the loss. Anyone is welcome to visit the Remembrance Garden and leave a padlock to remember their lost pregnancy. It is located next to the visitor parking at St. John Lutheran Church on Brambleton Avenue in Roanoke, and it is open all year.
Okay. Some folks in Roanoke have decided to add some lighting. We were talking about Christmas lights and how popular they are, how they got started. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can go back and listen to it later. But we have a thing called Park Roanoke, and they're adding permanent lights to downtown parking lots. There has been, like Lynchburg, unfortunately, some shootings in the Roanoke area. And downtown specifically, of course, parking is always an issue in most of the downtowns that our station gets into, and that includes Lynchburg. But so Roanoke's trying to do something about it because of some of the situations that happened, especially in 2020 when there was rounds of gunfire and people not feeling safe in the market lots. They've added some lights, and you know, this is going to help people feel a little bit more safe, Janet, getting back to their cars. It's being well lit, and they're saying that they're hoping to add lights to more areas downtown to kind of help that out. And if they could only invent, you know, like more parking spaces.
Yeah, really.
That would be helpful. But Roanoke downtown is a beautiful, beautiful area. And been down there plenty of times.
But I will say this, there are plenty of places to park in downtown Roanoke,
right,
and downtown Lynchburg and Southside. Mm-hmm. It's not going to hurt you to walk a little way.
Well, that was it. We parked in a parking garage when we went to the concerts
and
that happened back
so
in the summer.
And you see so much more.
Yeah. You didn't have to walk as far as you think,
right?
At this one particular parking garage that we were at. It was a nice little stretch your legs before you go, especially if you got an hour drive to get back home. You want to get that blood flowing.
That's
fall
right.
Asleep.
Yeah.
But anyway, so thanks to those folks working hard to give light to the downtown area of Roanoke.
Hey, you know, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned this.
Uh-huh.
But
is it food related?
It is.
Of course.
So. They're celebrating Mr. Pop-Tart.
What?
A man from Michigan is being celebrated for his creation of the Pop-Tart 57 years ago.
Oh, wow.
He's 94 years old. His name is Bill Post.
Okay.
He's a dad to two kids, grandpa to four, great-grandpa to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And one on his list of accolades is creating the Pop-Tart.
How about that?
He said in 1964, he answered a phone call from Kellogg.
Okay. His name is Post. That's just,
I know,
so ironic.
That is so funny. And wow, to see if we could come and look at some of our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They came and looked at our plant, and they said they wanted something for a toaster,
right,
but they didn't know how to do it. Post was the plant manager for Keebler at the time.
Wow.
Says, we know how to make one sheet of dough like for a cracker, but we had to put filling in between. So he and his team got to work. He said there were a lot of naysayers, some of my good friends would say, I don't know, Bill, I don't think that's such a good idea. I mean, putting gooey stuff in a toaster, I imagine there would be naysayers.
Mm-hmm.
He said the process to figure out how to make the Pop-Tart took several months. They had to put one sheet over another. And so a 60-ton piece of equipment had to be raised on a platform. Guys at the bakery thought I was crazy, but we had to make the sheets come out in a double layer
right. With
the Pop-Tart filling in between.
That explains how it presses it on there and everything.
Right.
You got those little like ribs along the edge.
Yeah.
It punches it out.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
The perfect frosting only took one day.
Okay.
I wanted to take a Pop-Tart and put it under the icer. Post said, and it would melt in the toaster. Being who I was, I did it anyway. I called him and said, can I see you today? I went over with a toaster and frosted Pop-Tarts, put them in the toaster, and they didn't melt. He said, I don't believe it.
Huh.
He started bringing home his fruit scones
to
his two children to let them taste test the product.
Wow.
Best dad ever.
Oh, no doubt.
My son, 13, I was 13, I think, my daughter, 9, I used to bring the products home. Most of the time, they didn't like what I brought home,
but
for the fruit scones.
Okay.
They said, Dad, we need you to bring more of those. And then after school, they would come in and put them in the toaster.
Right.
That was the beginning of changing history.
How about that?
He said, the funny thing is, at the same time, Post Consumer Brands, a company that coincidentally shared the same name,
right. Was
trying to make a similar snack called Country Squares.
Country Squares, okay.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
The funny story is, I always told him I'm the only Post to work for Kellogg. The Kellogg's success took off first.
Okay.
Original flavors? Want to venture a guess?
Strawberry.
Strawberry is one.
They had to do it. When did they bring the chocolate into the mix?
Strawberry, blueberry, and apple currant were the first ones. Apple currant kind of fell away. Blueberry's still around. Raspberry's my favorite.
Okay.
Cinnamon,
I like the cinnamon
sugar.
Well, cinnamon sugar Toastums.
That was original.
I grew up eating those.
That was an original one,
right. The
cinnamon sugar. I would have thought that would have come later, but no.
Our family couldn't afford Pop-Tarts. We had Toastums.
You had Toastums.
Which was the knockoff.
Gotcha. Well, that probably came from cinnamon toast. You'd make cinnamon toast when you were a kid,
exactly.
So I guess that's why.
Mm-hmm.
He said we were going to have 10,000 cases of 4 flavors. That grew to 45,000 cases. We knew something was happening.
Wow.
The advertising for kids made it fly off the shelf.
How about that?
He spent 41 years working for Keebler, then took a job as a consultant for Kellogg. He worked there for 19 years.
That's neat.
Isn't it cool that when you think of somebody who created, it's somebody that's still around.
Yeah, he's still around. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at his feet.
Oh, his
socks. Have you scrolled down to his socks?
Yeah.
They're Pop-Tarts, and it's like multiple flavors on his socks.
He probably has Pop-Tart ties.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Everything.
It's made
cuff links.
A lot of money.
he said, I'm humbled, but I didn't do this alone.
Right.
It was a matter of having great people working together.
Sure.
Kind of cool. Now, the Pringles guy, wasn't he buried in a Pringles can?
I tell you, you need to watch The Food That Made America. Because it addresses all this stuff that Janet and I are talking about. It's amazing that the Kellogg's and the Post guy, oh my gosh, that was like Food Wars.
Right.
That's what it should be called, is Food Wars.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff, it was crazy.
And now the Country Squares, they're nothing but a blip in Pop-Tart history.
Right. And the Hydrox versus the Oreos, that story is stinking amazing.
What? I'm sorry, what?
There is an Oreo knockoff called Hydrox. They still make them. You can get them. But most people pick up, you know, the Oreos instead. They're the same exact thing.
Wow.
But the story behind Hydrox and how Oreos,
I mean, marketing
beat
is
them
everything.
Out, they beat them out through marketing.
Marketing is everything.
It's
That's how
amazing.
Pepsi came up to par with Coke. They started serving a bigger bottle at the same price.
Exactly.
And then marketing it.
And then they saw a dip. And this marketing guy says, we're going to hire Michael Jackson. It's going to cost us $1 million.
Right.
And the people said, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then they did. And we all know what happened. And the whole hair catching on fire, that was a it was a it wasn't was, a publicity stunt, but it gave them so much more publicity that it was like wink wink nod, this actually helps our cause.
Yeah, the whole P.T. Barnum thing, there's no such thing as bad publicity,
right.
I guess.
Randy
did say he just ate his Pop-Tarts.
Oh,
he has
really?
Switched to unfrosted to become healthier. So, good for you.
If I had a post-toastum right now, I would toast it and then I'd put butter on it, because the little X's that let the heat come out.
Butter on a Pop-Tart? Only you would put butter on a Pop-Tart.
I'm telling you, butter on a cinnamon toastum Pop-Tart type thing is amazing.
Your wife says Hydrox cookies were actually invented before Oreos.
They were.
That happens a lot, though.
They were.
Somebody takes somebody's idea and then makes it even bigger.
Yeah. Hmm.
Hey, we'll be back with more of the stories that you're probably going to want to know about this morning, including our girl that we kind of called out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Bobert.
Yeah,
that
I got some
name?
Audio of her.
She had an interview. And
Laura Ingram.
Someone told her in person the thing that we were telling her yesterday on the air.
That's right.
We'll be back with that.
Hungry for some truth with a side of common sense?
You want answers?
Then you found the right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
You're listening to The Morning Jam. I'm Janet Rose. He's Mark Lamb. And we are glad you are where you are. 434-248-0704 is our text number. Our studio line numbers, 434-534-8500 or toll free 866-916-3776.
Busy morning here on the show.
It is. And it's the first day of December.
It is.
Which means people are going to start breaking out those advent calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Have you broken yours out yet?
We started.
You have so many.
We started this morning.
You have multiple advent calendars.
We started with cheese. And because I am the cheese meister, we have cheese, beer, wine, and cookies.
Wow.
So we have to go through four things each day.
There are a lot of them. I saw one that was like a different beauty product every day.
Right.
There is a Beatles advent calendar.
Wow.
Yeah. There are hot sauce advent calendars, DC holiday calendars. It's just crazy, all the different advent calendars that you can you can get.
Yeah.
So every day leading up to Christmas, you can open that up. And,
okay.
You know, it used to be really simple. Like you would pull that out and there'd be a little tiny piece of chocolate or something like that. But now they're much more complicated.
Well, I sent two chocolate ones to Florida to my brothers.
And there's coffee ones?
Yeah, there's
You've
coffee ones.
You've given those before?
Yeah, I'm giving one out today, as a matter of fact.
To a
friend of the show. My brothers, I had put them in the truck. I may have shared this story, but I put them in the truck, I don't know, a couple weeks ago and tried to get it mailed that day. I didn't, but it was one of those days where we reached 70, but it started out at 30. And I got it, opened the door, and I go, God, it's like 80 degrees in the truck. So I said, when you open your little, you know, chocolate, it's supposed to be a caricature of, you know, what the mold says, but
right.
You may get a blob each day. So maybe part of the fun could be, what was this supposed to be?
Oh, it's like an identification game.
Right, right. Because the chocolate may be melt.
Blob, blob, pop, it's blob.
Yeah, they'll know today because they're opening their first day, whether it's a blob or it's an actual figure of some sort.
Maybe you should have stuck with, you should have sent them the beautiful cookie calendar that you got for Kara.
Yeah.
That was the prettiest advent calendar I've ever seen.
Very nice.
Locally made.
Yeah.
And it's just so great. I don't know if she has any more of those or not. She probably doesn't.
I think you had to get the order in, you know, by a couple of weeks ago. So,
well, she can also do beautiful cookies for like parties and that type thing. Do you have her information? Do you remember her information? She's so talented.
Colt, text me. Colt, you got to be listening. Colt, text me, please.
It's Colt's wife.
It's Colt's
that
wife.
Does them, and oh my
and
gosh,
I think it's Cookies by Betty. I want to get.
I
it
think
right,
that's but, right.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah,
but she's really talented, and she's on Facebook.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's where you can find out. Because if you have a special event coming up, like a birthday or whatever, she makes. Well, we've had her cookies here at the show. Colt's brought them in before, and they're quite amazing. Now we're going to start I don't want to spoil it because my wife's listening, but because we got to pull the tray out, you can pull the tray out and see what the cookies
are. It's custom cookies by Peggy.
Peggy. No, I knew it had an E.
Is what it is. I'm gonna see if she can do some. I'm doing a Christmas tea for the little girls down the road.
Oh, cool.
This year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So oh, good for you.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Peggy, I'm sorry. I called her Betty earlier. I know it was an E. With a Y.
Names are hard. I get it. Yesterday, here's a name that's not hard. Well, I mean, it might be. We may be saying it wrong. I don't think I am, though. Lauren Boebert.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
She's been in the news quite a bit.
Yeah, let me pull that up.
We were saying yesterday, I don't think she's been behaving very well. She needs to grow up a little bit.
Yeah, she's...
In my humble opinion. I mean, she's 34 years old.
Right,
come on now.
Right.
But she was on... Laura Ingraham.
Yeah, and Laura kind of schooled her a little bit.
Well, I mean, look, she's on the right side of the topics. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, she's giving them a lot of ammunition right now.
Yeah, we're going to play this, and this will take us close to the top of the hour.
We're leaving the Capitol when I see a Capitol police officer running hurriedly to the elevator. I see fret all over his face. I look to my left. And there she is, Ilhan Omar.
Oops.
And I said, well, she doesn't have a backpack. We should be fine.
All right, the emergence of that video, which seemed to be a joke, albeit maybe an insensitive one, predictably sent the media into total meltdown mode.
Boebert, who proudly displayed her ignorance and bigotry in comments about Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar. Boebert has a troubling track record of making vile and incendiary comments.
The normalization of Islamophobia by the Republican Party has been going on for 20 years.
It's a garbage comment from a garbage politician.
Congressman Boebert refused to publicly acknowledge her hurtful and dangerous comments. And look, we all say things that are a little bit outrageous every now and then. You're young. You just arrived in Washington. But they're going to come after you because they think you're mm-hmm. a threat. Now, you're an America First conservative.
Right.
They don't like you. They never did. They're never going to. You're never going to win accolades
right.
from the elites. They hate you. But you can't give them a bat to hit you over the head with either, which you kind of did with
right.
those comments. Do you recognize that?
I think my statement reflects exactly that. I didn't apologize to appease Ilhan or the left or Nancy Pelosi or anyone else. I did that because I'm here to be a good congresswoman for the people who sent me here to be their voice, the people who sent me to secure their freedoms. They know that I'll defend Israel and support our police, unlike others who call Israelis terrorists and want to dismantle the police. I'll protect your right to keep and bear arms, unlike Ilhan Omar, who supports the government coming to your door and confiscating your guns.
Why don't
so
you have an
I
ID.
Won't be backing
I have an
down.
Idea. Congresswoman, I have an idea.
Yes.
Why don't you challenge her to a debate?
I would love a debate. I would love regular
show.
Order in the people's
we'll
house.
We'll do it on this show. We'll do it
right
on this
here
show.
On the show.
Now, I mean,
you know,
I will
that
step
would be
aside.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I will step
because
aside.
Because these are...
She didn't even give Laura Ingraham a chance to.
Yeah, she needs a little bit of help.
She's probably drinking, you know, caffeinated Red Bull times 10 or something.
She needs to listen. She needs to step back.
She's going to be a flash in the pan if she's not careful.
Yeah, she's really, really got to. I don't disagree with where she's coming from,
mm-hmm.
but she really needs to rein it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Or it's not going to go well.
Yeah, agreed.
So.
All right, we have Jacob Mast.
Yeah.
He's going to be up next with us here on the show.
Is he bringing Bobby with him?
I don't know. Bobby Boudreaux? You never know. Have to mix up a Cajun treat or something.
Oh, we probably shouldn't call out Bobby Boudreaux and Salty in the same hour.
Probably not.
You're listening to the Virginia Talk Radio Network, 100.9 WIQO Forest, and 106.3 WMNA-FM Gretna Danville. This is...